So motivation and preparation for mission, Saturday afternoon, memory verse. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, Luke 24:44. So these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, Luke 24:44. Wrote Paul to the Philippians, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, I will and will rejoice. Philippians 1:15-18. Powerful words. Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and that is what mattered to Paul. Ideally, though, our motives for preaching Christ, for mission, for reaching others with the good news, should be out of love and out of truth, and not from selfish ambition, envy, or strife. What, then, are some of the motivations for preaching Christ, and what are some of the ways that we can prepare for doing this? This week, we will look at some events in the early church that can give us guidance on these crucial parts of mission. Sunday, to share the good news, read Luke 24:1-12. What is the response of those who heard about the risen Christ? Early Sunday morning after Jesus' death, Luke says that a number of women went to the tomb. They had spices with them, so it is likely that they were going to tend to Jesus' body now that the Sabbath was over, expecting to find a still sealed tomb. They were shocked to find the tomb empty, unsure what to do. They were afraid when two men in the shining clothing appeared. However, the men had a message for them, reminding them of Jesus' words. They told the woman that Jesus had indeed risen, and he had said, as he said he would. Overjoyed with the news, they quickly returned to where the disciples and many of Jesus' other followers were staying, and told what they had seen and heard, because their excitement could not be contained. That is, they were sharing with others what they had learned of Christ. Can you imagine how the women must have felt? They had just had an amazing experience, one that certainly filled them with awe. But the disciples called their experience idle tales and would not believe them. Thus, not sure whether to believe the women or not, Peter ran to the tomb to see for himself. For Peter, and for many of us, there is a hesitancy to accept something simply because someone else said it. Though Peter listened to the women, he could not share in their experience until later. At first, all he experienced was an empty tomb, and that, Luke says, simply left him marveling to himself, Luke 24:12. His experience at the tomb was not the same as that of the women. Regardless of Peter's response, as soon as these women heard the news about Jesus, they wanted to share it with others. What greater motivation for mission could there be than to let others know about what Jesus has done for them? What greater motive than to spread the good news of Jesus, of salvation in Jesus, the only hope any of us have? Of course, we need a personal experience with God ourselves before we can share it with others. Our desire to share with others what we love so much must be a crucial part of our motivation for mission. In the end, we can't share what we ourselves don't have, can we? What are some of the experiences we have had with the reality of God and His love? Why are these times so precious to us, and how do they motivate us to reach out to others with the good news? So Monday, a prophetic foundation. Read Luke 24:36-49. What happened here, and why was this such a pivotal experience for the apostles? It is interesting that at first the disciples did not believe out of fear. Then, after seeing Jesus and being assured that he was indeed alive, they did not believe for joy. Luke 24:41. Have you ever felt that something was too good to be true? This was the experience of the disciples and the others in the upper room. If Jesus had left them only with this experience, however, then when he departed, their faith might not have lasted. Over time, the power of the experience would have faded. They would forget or start perhaps even to question it. So Jesus didn't stop with showing them his scars and eating fish in front of them. Instead, he then took them into the Word and showed them the prophetic foundation for his work and ministry. That is, no matter how great the experience that they had with him, Jesus still wanted their faith grounded in the Word of God. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, Luke 24:44. Here too we find a powerful motivation for witness, for mission, the word of God. Jesus knew that to solidify the disciples' experience, they needed to understand why he had to die and what his resurrection signified. They needed their worldview to be shifted from a political and earthly kingdom to the great solution to sin and the victory of Christ over death. The gospel was so much more than achieving political sovereignty for Israel. It revealed Christ's victory over Satan and guaranteed that one day all wickedness in the world would be destroyed, that the earth would be created anew, and that God would be among his people. He opened their understanding, Luke 24:45, so that they could comprehend these truths, which they were to share with the world. Our experiences with Jesus cannot be sustained without the foundation of his word, including the prophecies that point to the history and events leading up to, and including the first and second advents of Christ. With these truths firmly understood, we can be ready and motivated for mission. How well grounded are we in the prophecies that point to Christ, both his first and second comings, especially in the last days? Why must we be grounded in the word of God, including the prophecies, and why is understanding them so crucial, especially for mission? I'm going to skip Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for now. Just go to Friday. Further thought, our mission work must come from deep love and thankfulness for what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. Any other motivation is misguided. So our mission work must come from deep love and thankfulness for what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. Any other motivation is misguided. Keeping immersed in the Word and in tune with the Word is the key to successful outreach and evangelism. This is from Ellen G. White, Christ Object Lessons. Our life is to be bound up with the life of Christ. We are to draw constantly from him, partaking of him, the living bread that came down from heaven, drawing from a fountain over fresh, ever giving forth its abundant treasures. If we keep the word ever before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise to him, we shall have a continual freshness in our religious life. Our prayers will take the form of a conversation with God as we talk with a friend. He will speak his mysteries to us personally. Often there will come to us a sweet, joyful sense of the presence of Jesus. Often our hearts will burn within us as he draws nigh to commune with us as he did with Enoch. When this is in truth, the experience of the Christian, there is seen in his life a simplicity, a humility, meekness, and lowliness of heart that show to all with whom he associates that he has been with Jesus and learned from him. So when this is in truth, the experience of the Christian, there is seen in his life a simplicity, a humility, a meekness, a lowliness of heart that show to all with whom he associates that he has been with Jesus and learned from him. Ellen G. White, Christ Object Lessons, pages 129, 130. And this last one is also Christ Object Lessons, page 67, 68. There can be no growth or fruitfulness in the life that is centered in self. If you have accepted Christ as a personal Savior, you are to forget yourself and try to help others. Talk of the love of Christ. Tell others of his self-sacrificing death in their behalf. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love and labor for others, we will grow and bring forth fruit. Our faith will increase, our convictions deepen, and our love will be made perfect. Wow. Christ Object Lessons 67, 68. Okay, I'll come back to the others later. Thanks. Bye.